is over to the online service right now. Question. Aside from running up charges, what else can I do once I'm connected to an online service? Answer. Millions of things, an incredible array of things, no end of things. Question. Well, like what? Answer. You can... Okay, I have one. You can chat. Question. Chat? Answer. Chat. Question. I can already chat. I chat with my friends. Answer. Yes, but on the internet, which connects millions of people all over the entire globe, you can chat with total strangers, many of whom are boring and stupid. Question. Sounds great. How does it work? Answer. Well, first you decide which type of area you wish to chat in. Some areas are just for general chatting, and some are for specific interest groups, such as teens, poets, cat lovers, religious people, gays, gay teens who read religious poetry to cats, and of course guys having pointless arguments about sports. At any given moment, an area can contain anywhere from 2 to dozens of people who use clever fake names such as Bite Me Too, so nobody will know their real identities. Question. What are their real identities? Answer. They represent an incredible range of people. People of all ages and all kinds of fascinating fields, from scientists to singers, from writers to wranglers, from actors to athletes. You could be talking to almost anybody on the internet. Question. Really? Answer. No. You're almost always talking to losers and hormone-crazed 13-year-old boys, but they pretend to be writers, wranglers, scientists, singers, and so on. Question. What do people talk about in chat areas? Answer. Most chat area discussions revolve around the fascinating topic of who is entering and leaving the chat area. A secondary but equally fascinating topic is where everybody lives. Also, for a change of pace, every now and then the discussion is interrupted by a hormone-crazed 13-year-old boy wishing to talk dirty to women. To give you an idea of how scintillating the repartee can be, here's a recreation of a typical chat area dialogue. Do not read this scintillating repartee while operating heavy machinery. Lil Brisket. Hi, everybody. Wazooty Man. Hi, Lil Brisket. Toadster. Hi, Briss. Lung Fluke.
Hi, B.
Lil Brisket. What's going on? Toadster.
Not much.
Lung Fluke. Pretty quiet. Longish pause. Wazooty Man. Anybody here from Texas? Lil Brisket. Nope. Toadster. Nope. Lung Fluke. Sorry. Longish pause. Uvula Bob. Hi, everybody. Toadster. Hi, Uvula Bob. Lung Fluke. Hi, Uvula. Lil Brisket. Hi, Ub. Wazooty Man. Hi, you. Uvula Bob.
What's happening?
Lil Brisket. Kind of slow. Toadster.
Same old, same old.
Lung Fluke. Pretty quiet. Jason 56243837. Lil Brisket, take off your panties. Lil Brisket. Okay, but I'm a man. Longish pause. Wazooty Man.
Uvula Bob. Are you from Texas?
Uvula Bob.
No.
Longish pause. Lung Fluke.
Well, gotta run.
Toadster.
Bye, Lung Fluke.
Lil Brisket.
Take her easy, Lungster.
Wazooty Man.
See you around, Lung.
Uvula Bob.
So long, Al.
Longish pause. Polyp Master.
Hi, everybody.
Lil Brisket. Hey, Polyp Master. Toadster.
Yo, Polyp.
Uvula Bob.
Hi, P.
Polyp Master.
What's going on?
Lil Brisket.
Not much.
Toadster.
Pretty quiet.
Uvula Bob.
Kind of slow.
And so it goes in the chat areas.
hour after riveting hour, where the ideas flow fast and furious, and at any moment you could learn some fascinating nugget of global network information, such as whether or not Polyp Master comes from Texas. Question. I've heard that people sometimes use internet chat areas to have cyber sex. What exactly is that? Answer. This is when two people send explicitly steamy messages to each other back and forth, faster and faster, hotter and hotter, faster and faster, and harder until, oh, God, they suddenly find that they have a bad case of sticky keyboard, if you get my drift. Question. That's disgusting. Answer. Yes. Question. Could you give me an example? Answer. Certainly. Born to bone. I want you now. Honey bunny. I want you now. Born to bone. I want to take off your clothes. Honey bunny. Yes. Yes. Born to bone. I'm taking off your clothes. Honey bunny. Oh, yes. Longish pause. Honey bunny, is something wrong? Born to bone, I can't unhook your brassiere. Honey bunny, I'll do it. Born to bone, thanks. Oh my God, I'm touching your... Honey bunny, copious bosoms? Born to bone, yes, your copious bosoms. I'm touching them. Honey bunny, yes. Born to bone, both of them. Honey bunny, yes. Born to bone, I'm taking off your panties. Honey bunny, you already did. Born to bone, oh, okay, you're naked. I'm touching your entire nakedness. Honey bunny, yes. Wazooty man, anybody here from Texas? Born to bone, no. Honey bunny, no. Born to bone, I'm becoming turgid in my manfulness. Honey bunny, yes, yes, you are. You are a bull. You are my great, big, raging bull stallion. Wazooty man, hey, thanks. Honey bunny, not you. Born to bone, I am a stallion. I am a raging, bulging bull stallion. And I am thrusting my... Honey bunny, your love knockwurst? Born to bone. Yes, I'm thrusting my love knockwurst into your... Honey bunny, promise you won't laugh? Born to bone. Yes, honey bunny, my passion persimmon? Born to bone. Ha ha! Honey bunny, you promised. Born to bone. Sorry. Okay, here goes. I am thrusting my massive knockwurst of love into your passion persimmon. Honey bunny, yes, yes, yes. Born to bone, oh, it feels so good. I feel powerful. Honey bunny, you are powerful, born to bone. I feel your power inside me. Born to bone, it feels like... Honey bunny, like what? Born to bone, it feels just like, oh my God, oh my God. Honey bunny, tell me, born to bone, tell me what it feels like. Born to bone, oh God, it feels like when I break a tie vote in the Senate. Pause. Honey bunny, what did you say? Born to bone, whoops. Honey bunny, it feels like when you break a tie vote in the Senate. Born to bone. Listen, what I meant was, honey bunny, this is you, isn't it, Al? Isn't it? You bastard! You told me you were attending a state funeral this afternoon. Born to bone. Tipper? Honey bunny. Whoops. Question. Aside from chatting, what else can I do on the internet? Answer. You can join one of the thousands of forums where people, by posting messages, discuss and debate important scientific, historical, philosophical, and political topics of the day.
Question. Like what?
Answer. Barry Manilow. Question. There's a forum for Barry Manilow?
Answer. There's a forum for everything.
Question. What happens on these forums?
Answer.
Well, on the Barry Manilow forum, for example, fans post messages about how much they love Barry Manilow, and other fans respond by posting messages about how much they love Barry Manilow, too. And sometimes the forum is invaded by people posting messages about how much they hate Barry Manilow, which leads in turn to angry counter-messages and vicious name-calling that can go on for months.
Question. Just like junior high school.
Answer. But even more pointless.
Question. Are there forums about sex?
Answer. Zillions of them.
Question. What do people talk about on those?
Answer.
Barry Manilow.
Question. No, really.
Answer. Okay, they talk about sex, but it is not all titillating.
Often you'll find highly scientific discussions that expand the frontiers of human understanding.
Question. Can you give a specific example that you're not making up?
Answer.
Yes. Strictly for the purpose of researching this book, I checked into one of the sex forums, pretty much at random, and I found a series of related messages, or thread, on the topic of how to do the buzz. It turns out that the buzz is a sexual technique.
Duh.
In the opening message of this thread, an enthusiastic advocate, who apparently is a doctor, explains in semi-clinical detail how to perform this technique. Here's an excerpt. You pucker up your lips to form an O, then buzz, so that your lips are vibrating. You can practice on your finger. When your lips are vibrating on your finger, that's the sensation you are aiming at. It is rather like playing a trumpet when you don't blow, but... This message ends with the following warning. Women, if you are buzzing a man, never, never buzz the hole at the top of the urethra. For men doing a woman, never, never blow or buzz directly into the vaginal opening. It is possible to force air into the circulatory system so that an air bubble will form and cause a stroke and brain damage or heart failure. So, suck is okay, but blow is not. Are you starting to see the benefits of the information superhighway? Already we have learned an exciting new sexual technique that, if we do it wrong, could kill our partner. But that's just the beginning of this thread. The next message, apparently from another doctor, strongly disputes the contention that the buzz poses medical dangers, calling it unbelievable and pseudo-medical hokum. This statement is in turn disputed by the next message, which states, authoritatively, that the original warning is correct and that it's documented in any decent medical textbook.
Think of it. The buzz is documented in medical textbooks.
This is followed by more authoritative sounding posts, also apparently from members of the medical profession, concerning the dangers involved in blowing air into people's orifices. Here's another example.
When I was in practice, there had been a number of cases reported in the literature of people forcing air into both the rectum and the urethra with very damaging and in some cases fatal results. This was usually compressed air from a compressor or non-compressed air from a vacuum cleaner.
At this point, the discussion, as is often the case on internet forums, branches off in a new direction.
While we are on a medical topic, here is something I've been wondering about. I visit a hands-on lap dancing club in San Francisco and would like to know if there is any medical danger from licking breasts. I'm serious about this. Undoubtedly, the 22-year-olds I lick have just come from some other guy that's been licking her, too. Does spit evaporate or something, or does it stay on for the next guy to lick up?
The thread ended at this point,
but I have no doubt that eventually there were more messages from concerned individuals from all over the world wishing to advance the frontiers of human understanding on the vital topic of diseases transmitted via breast spit.
Question: is it a beautiful thing, the Internet?
Answer: it is.
Question: what is the World Wide Web?
Answer: the World Wide Web is the multimedia version of the Internet, where you can get not only text, but also pictures and sounds on a semi-infinite range of topics. This information is stored on web pages, which are maintained by companies, institutions, and individuals. Using special software, you can navigate to these pages and read, look at, or listen to all kinds of cool stuff. It would not surprise me to learn that by the time you read these words, somewhere on the web, you can look at an actual electron microscope image of a molecule of breast spit.
Question: wow! How can I get on the web?
Answer: it's easy. Suppose you're interested in buying a boat from an Australian company that has a web page featuring pictures and specifications of its various models. All you have to do is fire up your World Wide Web software and type in the company's web page address, which will probably be an intuitive, easy-to-remember string of characters like this: http://fweemer-twerple-squiggly-line.com/heppeldork/sockettomesockettomy@fee-fi/fo/fum.
Question: what if I type one single character wrong?
Answer: you will launch U.S. nuclear missiles against Norway.
Question: ah.
Answer: but assuming you type in the correct address, you could merely press enter and there you are.
Question: where?
Answer: sitting in front of your computer waiting for something to happen. It could take weeks. Entire new continents can emerge from the ocean in the time it takes for a web page to show up on your screen. Contrary to what you may have heard, the Internet does not operate at the speed of light. It operates at the speed of the Department of Motor Vehicles. It might be quicker for you just to go to Australia and look at the boats in person.
Question: does that mean that the World Wide Web is useless?
Answer: heck no. If you're willing to be patient, you'll find that you can utilize the vast resources of the web to waste time in ways that you never before dreamed possible.
Question: for example?
Answer: for example, recently I was messing around with a web browser, which is the kind of software that lets you search all of cyberspace, millions of documents, for references to a specific word or group of words. You can pretty much find everything that anybody has ever written on the Internet about that topic. It's an incredibly powerful research tool. So I decided to do a search on an issue that concerns, or should concern, all of humanity.
Question: tapeworms?
Answer: exactly. I entered the word tapeworm, and the browser came up with a list of hundreds of places on the web where the word appeared. I started checking them out at random. This took a lot of time, but as a writer, I have a lot of time. And eventually, I came up to a forum in Austin, Texas, devoted to sushi.
Question:
hey, why not?
Answer:
exactly. And in this forum, I found a message posted by sushi chef Yasuhiro Muromatsu, entitled, "A Note About Salmon." Reading it, I was struck by how poetic it sounded. It was like a new, expanded kind of haiku. If you don't mind, I'd like to tell you right now.
Question: by all means.
Answer: thank you. Here it is. "A Note About Salmon" by Yasuhiro Muromatsu. I am a sushi chef. I have seen several worms and eggs in salmon fillet. It is very rare case, but sometimes salmon has egg of tapeworm. It causes serious health problem if you have it. We don't eat raw salmon in Japan. Only one exception is spelled R-U-I-B-E. It is pre-frozen salmon. Must be lower than -20 degrees Celsius and more than 12 hours. So you had better ask your sushi chef it before you order their raw salmon. Salmon is one of the most affordable fish for sushi and sashimi, and it is also looks good. Therefore, a lot of Japanese restaurants are serving raw salmon. I hope none of them does just slice and serve it. I think you had better don't eat raw salmon except the restaurants which you can trust it. By the way, I have never eaten raw salmon. I like Norway-style marinade salmon lox. Question, that is truly beautiful. Answer, yes, and it's just one teensy little piece, one infinitesimally tiny fraction of the gigantic, pulsating, mutating, multiplying mass of stuff out there on the internet. Sooner or later, everything is going to be on there somewhere. You should be there too. Don't be afraid. Be like the bold explorer Christopher Columbus. Email address chriscall@nina.pintaandsantamaria.ahoy. Setting out into uncharted waters, fearful of what you might encounter, but also mindful of the old inspirational maritime saying, if you don't leave the land, then you'll probably never have a chance to get scurvy and develop anemia, spongy gums, and bleeding from the mucous membranes. So come on, join me and millions of others on this exciting cyber frontier with its limitless possibilities for the enhancement of knowledge and the betterment of the human race. Wazooty Man is waiting for you.
You've got mail.
Chapter 10, Using Internet Shorthand. How you can be just as original as everybody else. As a new person, or newbie, on the internet, you'll probably be struck by the fact that a lot of the messages contain odd-looking words and punctuations. This is a kind of shorthand that internet users have developed. Much of this shorthand takes the form of acronyms, which are chemical substances secreted by moths wishing to have sex. No, wait, that's pheromones. Acronyms are groups of initials like RSVP, which stands for ASAP, that stand for some commonly used phrase. Internet people love acronyms because they make communication much more efficient, as we can see from the following typical conversation. Person A, what's up? Person B, not much. G prompt. Person A, LOL dot HEFY question? G prompt. Person B, ROTFL. Person C, PMFJ, but IMHO, comma, OJIOG, BUOLSWMRTJV, AIFWNT, MITSIHDHGCOAC. Well, this may look like a bunch of gobbledygook, but these people are actually having an extremely witty conversation, internet style. To help you decode it, here's a table of common internet acronyms. The acronym, G prompt, meaning grin. The G prompt is widely used on the internet to indicate that the writer meant the preceding statement to be humorous. Interestingly, the preceding statement is almost never even remotely humorous. Internet people apparently believe that they can make their statements humorous by putting G prompts after them. An example of typical usage. I live in Akron. G prompt. The French poet Jean-Baptiste Racine was born in 1639. G prompt. Acronym, LOL. Meaning, laughing out loud. This indicates that the writer is laughing out loud. It is generally used in response to a statement that has a G prompt after it. Example, Person A, we had some rain today, G prompt. Person B, LOL. Acronym, ROTFL, meaning rolling on the floor laughing. This is a response to a statement that is even funnier than the one that is merely LOL. There is just no end to the hilarity on the internet. Example, Person A, we had some rain today, but it turned to sleet, G prompt. Person B, ROTFL, acronym,
H-E-F-Y. Meaning, hot enough for you? This hilarious zinger always gets everybody R-O-T-F-L. Acronym P-M-F-J. Meaning, pardon me for jumping in. This is often used in conjunction with another acronym, I-M-H-O, which stands for In My Humble Opinion. These courteous acronyms help keep the Internet civil and polite. Example, PMFJ, but IMHO, you suck. The acronym OJIOGBULSWMRTJVAIFWNTMITSIHDHGCOAC means OJ is obviously guilty, but under our legal system, we must respect the jury's verdict, although it would frankly not trouble me in the slightest if he drove his golf cart off a cliff. Chapter 11, Selected Websites. I want to thank the good, weird but good people of the Alt Fan Group who suggested many of these sites. At last, proof that civilization is doomed. A common criticism of the Internet is that it is dominated by the crude, the uninformed, the immature, the smug, the untalented, the repetitious, the pathetic, the hostile, the deluded, the self-righteous, and the shrill. This criticism overlooks the fact that the Internet also offers, for the savvy individual who knows where to look, the tasteless and the borderline insane. I'm thinking here mainly of the World Wide Web. Whereas much of the Internet relies strictly on text, the web is multimedia. This means that if, for example, you're setting up a website devoted to exploring the near-universal human fear that a Star Wars character wants to consume your gonads, you can present this issue in both words and pictures. I'll have more on this issue later on in this chapter. This is a good reason to stop listening to this chapter right now. You can also greatly advance the frontiers of scientific knowledge regarding spam. In researching this chapter, I spent many, many hours exploring the World Wide Web. My time was divided as follows. Activity, typing insanely complex web addresses. Time spent, 2%. Activity, waiting for what seemed like at least 2 academic semesters per web page, while the computer appeared to do absolutely nothing. Time spent, 93%. Activity, reading snippy messages stating that there is no such web address. Time spent, 2%. Activity, retyping insanely complex web addresses. Time spent, 2%. Activity, actually looking at web pages. Time spent, 1%. As you can see, it can take quite a while for a web page to appear on your screen. The reason for the delay is that when you type in a web address, your computer passes it along to another computer, which in turn passes it along to another computer, and so on, through as many as 5 computers before it finally reaches the workstation of a disgruntled U.S. Postal Service employee who throws it in the trash. So in browsing the web, you will almost certainly encounter lengthy delays, which means that it's a good idea to have something else to do while you're waiting, such as re-roofing your house. Anyway, by virtue of being diligent and not having a real job, I was eventually able to get through to quite a few web pages, and in this chapter, I'm going to describe some of the more memorable ones. But before I do, I want to stress 3 points. All pages described here are real. I did not make any of them up, not even the virtual toilet. What you see here represents just a teensy tiny fraction of the thousands upon thousands of web pages, with new ones being created constantly. Do not assume, from what you see in this chapter, that all web pages are a total waste of time. The actual figure is only about 99.999997%. By the time you read this, you may not be able to visit all of these pages. I visited most of them in mid-1996. Some of them may have since gone out of existence for various reasons, such as that their creators were recalled to their home planets. But this chapter is not intended as an exhaustive list. I just want to give you an idea of some of the stuff that's out there. So fasten your seatbelt and let's visit some of the fascinating rest stops on the information superhighway. We'll start, appropriately enough, with the toilets of Melbourne, Australia. https://minys.xx/rmit.edu.au/squiggly-line/S950765/toilet/. Now, if you're thinking of taking a trip to Melbourne, Australia, the first question you ask yourself is, what will the toilets be like? The answer can be found at this website, which offers detailed reviews of selected Melbourne area toilets. Here are some actual excerpts. What a great day for a drive. Mild weather, a nice lunch, a scenic walk. First-rate toilets. The other notable thing about the toilets was the toilet paper holders. They were Bauskott continuous toilet paper holders that were actually positioned up high enough. On the way, we stopped at Eastland Shopping Center, home of the best public toilets I've seen so far. They were clean, open, and the toilet roll holders were free-moving, as with the Listerfield Lake toilets. One of the basin-style urinals was positioned lower for kids. The hand dryer was fantastic, too. It was a compact, automatic Mirage dryer. Even though it was much smaller than other hand dryers, it blew out plenty of hot air. And that's not all. From this website, you can jump to some of the many, many other toilet-related websites, including a virtual public restroom, the Toilet of the Web, https://www.aubrn.edu/squiggly-line/CARLTJM/restroom.html. This is where you can write a virtual message and leave a virtual poopy. Giant collection of Viola jokes. http://www.mit.edu/people/jcb/viola-jokes.html. If you're like most people, you frequently remark to yourself, darn it, I have an important business presentation to make today, and I would love to break the ice by opening with a Viola joke, but I don't know any fresh ones. Well, you will never have to make that statement again, not after you visit this webpage. This is a huge collection of Viola jokes. I suppose it's possible that somebody, somewhere, has compiled an even bigger collection of Viola jokes, but I seriously doubt that this could be done without the aid of powerful, illegal stimulants. Much of the Viola joke humor appears to be based on the premise that the Viola players are not the brightest or most talented members of the orchestra. Question: how can you tell when a violist is playing out of tune? Answer: the bow is moving. Question: what do you call a violist with two brain cells? Answer: pregnant. Some of the jokes are probably a lot more hilarious if you know something about classical music. I'm sure, for example, that many orchestra professionals slap their thighs when they hear this one. Question: how do you get a violist to play a passage pianissimo tremolando? Answer: market solo. Market solo. Anyway, I was genuinely surprised by this webpage. I always thought of classical orchestras as somber operations where most of the musicians are very serious and hunched over to the point of bowel disorder. I had no idea that there was this kind of wackiness, especially not in a string section. The woodwinds, of course, are a different story. These dudes and dudettes are out of control. Guide to Crackers. http://mathlab.edu/%7Eij/CSTUFF/index
www.chat.html.
This is one of those ideas you never in a million years could have had yourself, but as soon as you see it, you smack your forehead and say, huh, this page features photographs of various types of crackers, Cheez-Its, Ritz Bits, and so on, actual size. When you click on a cracker, you go to a page that gives you the packaging and nutritional information. You are also encouraged to donate crackers, especially rare and unusual crackers. I'm sure there is a good reason.
Human testicle consumption. Mr. T ate my balls. http://www.cen.uiuc.edu/squiggly-line-nkpatel/mr.t/index.html. Chewbacca ate my balls. http://www.cen.uiuc.edu/squiggly-line-nkpatel/chewbacca-index.html.
There are some things in life that it is better to just not even think about. And one of those things is the question of what exactly led to the creation of these pages. In summary, these pages present pictures of Mr. T and Chewbacca expressing, by means of comic book style speech and thought balloons, the dramatic theme that they would like to eat your testicles. For example, in the opening scene of the Chewbacca Ate My Balls page, Chewbacca is thinking, I wish I had some balls to munch on. In the next scene, he's thinking, your balls are mine. And then in the dramatic plot development reminiscent of the work of playwright Arthur Miller, Chewbacca thinks, what? Mr. T already got yours? These sites also feature a guest book where visitors can leave comments. The comments that I read were all very complimentary. People really respond to a universal theme like this. I myself had to lie down for a while. The Spam Cam. http://www.fright.com/cgi-bin/spamcam. If you have the slightest doubt that the internet is good for science, you should look at this page and then you'll have much more serious doubts. This page is billed as the page that seeks to answer the question, is spam organic? It presents close-up photographs of scientific experiments showing what happens when spam or other types of foods are left sitting out for long periods of time. What happens is, get ready for a major scientific breakthrough. Everything gets really disgusting. For a while, there was also a very popular website, http://www.rice.edu/squiggly-line-gouge/twinkies.html. That was set up by college students wishing to determine what happens to Twinkies when they are heated with torches dropped from tall buildings and so on. It turns out that pretty much nothing happens. But when I tried to check it out, it had been closed down by lawyers. Perhaps by the time you read this book, it will be back in operation again. Or perhaps the entire internet will have been closed down by lawyers. Or perhaps college students will have started dropping lawyers from tall buildings. You never know with the future. Piercing Mildred. http://streams.com/pierce. Who says there is no culture on the internet? You will, after you visit this site. This is a game where you get to select a character, either Mildred or Maurice, and then you pierce that person's body parts, or decorate her or him with designer scars. Mildred and Maurice also sometimes get infected, so sometimes you have to purchase antibiotic ointment.
You may think this sounds like a fairly perverted game, but ask yourself, is it really that different from Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head? Banana Labels of the World. http://www.staff.org.jp/whoisw/ilkka/banana/banalabels.html. If you thought that there were basically only a couple of types of banana labels, then a visit to this site will quickly convince you that you are a stupid idiot. This site presents pictures of hundreds of banana labels, including labels commemorating historic events such as the 50th anniversary of Miss Chiquita, not to mention a label from a Big Frida's Burrow banana. This site will also direct you to other banana label pages. Of course there are other banana label pages. And you are invited to send in banana labels, including virtual banana labels, which I assume means labels for virtual bananas. Now, my feeling about this is fine, but they had better not come out with virtual beer. Wave to the cats. http://hogwild.hamjudo.com/cgi-bin/wave. This is the perfect website. This is one of many cool sites I found out there through the highly recommended Center for the Easily Amused, located at http://www.amused.com/. This is the perfect website to show to the skeptic who thinks you can't do anything useful or practical on the internet. At this site, you can click on a button that activates a motor at a remote location. The motor is attached to a large fiberboard hand, which waves back and forth at some cats, if the cats happen to be in the room at the time. You can't actually see this. You just get the warm feeling of satisfaction that comes from knowing that you are causing a remote, simulated hand to wave at remote, possibly non-existent cats. You also get a nice thank you for your wave message from the webpage author, as well as his description of the way cats usually react to the hand. Master will stare at it when it moves. The other three cats, Kelly, Mutant, and Katrina, just ignore it. I know what you're thinking, but to my knowledge, there currently is no Spay the Cats website. Trojan Room Coffee Machine. http://www.cl.cam.ac.uk/coffee/coffee.html. If you go to this page, you can, merely by clicking your mouse, see from anywhere in the world and up to the second video image of the coffee machine in the Trojan Room of the University of Cambridge Computer Laboratory in England. It would be virtually impossible to calculate the time that has been saved by disseminating this information via the web, as opposed to previous methods. Captain and Tennille Appearances. http://www.vcnet.com/moonlight/ctappearances. This page lists upcoming personal appearances by the Captain and Tennille. Using this information, you can find out exactly where this veteran duo will be making their own special brand of musical magic so that you can arrange to be on the diametrically opposite side of the earth when they perform Muskrat Love. Cursing in Swedish. http://www.bart.nl/squigglyline/sante/enginvek.html. This is the most thorough online course in Swedish cursing that I'm aware of. It is scholarly, well-organized, and professional-looking. And if your computer has sound, you can click on individual phrases and your computer will curse at you in Swedish.
Here are some of the practical Swedish curses you can learn on this website, and I swear I'm not making these up.
Han var en jävel på att fiska.
He was bloody good at fishing.
Satan ungen passad på sig.
Hell, the kid wet his trousers.
Pubkillarna var ena jävlar på att pissa.
The guys at the pub were masterly at pissing.
Jattapada den javlin tavalin.
I dropped the effing soap.
Det vor himla rullik om du kom till festen.
It would be heavenly if you could take part in the party.
Kirkjavel.
Effing effer.
Fester kommen agaat skagen.
The party will be a real flop. And of course, the one curse you constantly find yourself needing to express whenever you're in Sweden.
När jag blir av med gipsen skull tufas pastatten.
Just wait until I have gotten rid of the plaster.
Dutch traffic signs.
I found this site, along with many other excellent ones, at a very useful site called Useless Pages, http://www.chaco.com/useless/index.html. Check it out. Without this site, I would never have known that the Dutch have a traffic sign that means squalls. Federal corpse slice photos. http://www.nim.nih.gov/research/visible/photos.html. On this site, you can see images taken from the government's Visible Human Project, in which two actual deceased humans, one male and one female, were frozen in gelatin and sliced into very thin slices for the benefit of science. I know you're wondering where the government got the corpses. You will be relieved to learn that the answer is not from the Internal Revenue Service Division of Taxpayer Compliance, or so they claim.
People with toasters.
http://www.berksys.com/www/promotions/UNURTOASTER.html. This page features photographs of people with their toasters.
Fabio.
http://redwood.northcoast.com/squiggly line/shojo/fabio/fabio.html.
This page features photographs of the romantic superstar mega hunk Fabio with his toaster. No, seriously. The photographs depict the romantic superstar mega hunk posing in a manner that reveals his deeply passionate, sensitive, innermost feelings about what a stud muffin he is. What makes this site great is that you can click on the photographs, and if your computer has sound, Fabio will say things to you such as, "Your caress is my command." Apparently he doesn't realize that you're caressing him with a mouse pointer. Deformed frog pictures.
https://www.mncs.k12.mn.us/frog/pics.html.
One summer day in 1995, some students at the Minnesota New Country School were on a nature studies hike. They started catching frogs, and after a bit, they noticed that many of the frogs did not appear to meet standard frog specifications in terms of total number of legs, eyes, and so on. So the students started a frog project to study this phenomenon. If you visit this webpage, you can read about their work and see actual photographs of the frogs. This will help you to become more aware of the environment, pollution, and other important topics, unless you're the kind of sicko who just wants to look at deformed frogs.
Musical Sand. http://www.yo.rim.or.jp/squiggly-line-smiwa/index.html.
If you're interested in information on Musical Sand, and, well, who's not, this is really the only place to go. This site offers information in both Japanese and a language that is somewhat reminiscent of English. The introduction states, all information concerning Musical Sand in the world, singing sand on beach, and booming sand in desert, will concentrate in this home pages. Singing properties of the sand is very sensitive to pollution, and that may be play a sensor for it. To my regret, Musical Sand is on the brink of a critical position to be exterminated. If cleaning air and sea, however, Musical Sand plays wonderful sound with action of wind and wave for us. I make show you, world of Musical Sand, that Mother Nature polished by spending eternal time. Think of it. Endangered sand. If your computer has sound capability, you can actually listen to some singing sand. It is not easy to describe the eerie, almost unearthly beauty of the sound that the sand makes. Best words I can come up with are, like a vacuum cleaner trying to suck up a dead cow. I, for one, would hate to see the Earth lose a resource like this, and I hereby urge Sting and Willie Nelson to hold some kind of benefit concert. Exploding Whale. http://www.xmission.com/80/squiggly-line-grue/whale. That's W-H-A-L-E. On this site, you can see pictures of the now famous incident. About 10 years ago, I saw a videotape of this incident taken by a local TV station. I wrote a column about it, and somebody unfamiliar with the copyright laws put that column on the internet without attaching my name to it. The result is that for years now, people have been sending me my own column, often with notes saying, you should write a column about this. So on this site, you can see pictures of the now famous incident in which the Oregon State Highway Division, attempting to dispose of a large and aromatic whale that had washed up on the beach, decided to, why not, blow it up with half a ton of dynamite. Now, the theory was that the whale would be converted from one large unit into many small whale McNuggets, which would then be eaten by seagulls. Unfortunately, this is not what happened. What happened was, following a massive blast, talk about booming sands, large chunks of rotting whale blubber, some of them large enough to dent a car roof, rained down upon spectators several hundred yards away, and there was still an extremely large chunk of dead whale lying on the beach. This is not seagull chow. A seagull capable of eating this chunk would have to be the size of the Lincoln Memorial. The moral here is, if another dead whale washes up on the beach in Oregon, the authorities should probably not turn the disposal job over to the State Highway Division. But if they do, I hope they sell tickets. World Record Barbecue Ignition. http://ghg.ecn.purdue.edu/oldindex.html. If this web page doesn't make you proud to be an American, then frankly, I don't know what will. This site presents the ultimate result of the effort by the members of the Purdue University Engineering Department to see how fast they could get the barbecue charcoal ignited at their annual picnic. They started by blowing the charcoal with a hairdryer. Then, in subsequent years, they escalated to using a propane torch, an acetylene torch, and then compressed pure oxygen. At this point, they were lighting the charcoal very fast, but for these guys, very fast was not good enough. These guys had a dream, and that dream was to ignite their charcoal faster than anybody had ever done before. And thus, they hit upon the idea of using liquid oxygen, the kind used in rocket engines. On this web page, you can see photos and video of an engineer named George Goebel using long wooden handles to dump a bucket of liquid oxygen onto a grill containing 60 pounds of charcoal. This is followed by a fireball that, according to Goebel, reached 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The charcoal was ready for cooking in 3 seconds. Next time Oregon has a whale problem, maybe we should call these guys. Flaming Pop-Tart Experiment. http://www.personal.umich.edu/squigglyline/gmbrown/tart/. It is a well-known scientific fact, this has been verified on the David Letterman Show, that if you put a Kellogg's brand strawberry Pop-Tart into a toaster and hold the toaster lever down so that it can't pop up, after about 5 minutes, the Pop-Tart will turn into the blowtorch snack pastry from hell, shooting dramatic blue flames as much as a foot out of the toaster slots. If you visit this webpage, you can see actual photos of an experiment demonstrating